podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
This is a Piccolo Podcast production.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cricket Unfiltered. It's our wrap from day two from the indoor test match. It's the third test of the Border Gavaskar series. Australia are in command. They need just 76 runs to win their first test match in India since the 2017 tour. Paul, what a day for the Australians.
I can't quite believe it, Menas. I have found myself getting more and more emotionally invested in this match, and halfway through the day, I was really, really pessimistic. I kept on looking at the score and thinking, well, realistically, if I didn't know the circumstances of this match, Australia's looking okay. They had a lead of 80 or 90. They were taking wickets. I just had this feeling that India is going to put us to the sword at one point or another. There'll be a major partnership. I could see them leading by 250 and then Australia getting bowled out for 90. And I'm quite incredulous that hasn't happened. if we lose it from here, it's going to be worth watching. I'll say that much.
Yeah, well, I mean, what a day. So it started with Australia batting to drinks without losing a wicket. Australia was 186 for four. They led by 77. Hanscom and Green had battled through that first hour. You probably think they were too defensive. Do you think they were too defensive?
Well, I was going to say that was the only problem, that they didn't lose a wicket, but they also didn't score a run. So they scored none for none in the first hour. It wasn't ideal, I thought.
They didn't score none for none.
I think Matthew Hayden, I've always speak very highly of him, was quite critical of Peter Hanscom. And I thought it was balanced criticism that Hanscom, I think, is the leading Australian average on the tour so far. He's averaging about 32. So I don't want to be too critical, and he did get a reasonably useful 19. But 19 off 98, some people might say, well, wait a minute, we criticised them when they scored, when they were too reckless. Now we're criticising them when they were too slow. But I think that I don't think the wicket was quite as bad this morning as maybe they thought it was going to be. And I just think that they should have kept on playing the way that they played at the end of day one, and that they just completely went into their shell. Green less so. Green was a little bit more aggressive. So, yeah, I'm not overly critical because, as you say, they survived the first hour and, they can't be blamed for the fact that we then lost 6 for 11 in 34 balls. Well, they can be blamed for their own wickets only. I think they probably should have scored a little bit more quickly, Hanscom in particular.
Yeah, I thought it was good that they actually showed that you can sort of dig in a little bit on these wickets and be patient. You don't just have to try and sweep everything for four. But yes, so they get to the first drinks break. And at this point, you're thinking, well, Australia could actually get a significant lead here and put the match out of reach of India. And then they lose, as you say, 6 for 11 to be all out for just 197. I mean, it happened so fast. It almost happened quicker than it did on day three in the last test match. Hanscom went for 19. Then Umesh Yadav, who got three of the last six wickets, he got Green for 21, Carey for three, and he got four of the last, no, three. He got Stark and Murphy. He got Green, Stark and Murphy. In pretty quick succession.
Yeah, I'd be obliged if you can go back to the audio from our last show when I said that I don't think he'd be much of a threat. If you could scrub that would be great because, he looked really good. So, yeah, another of my confident proclamations has come up very badly short. Yeah, the ball he got Stark out, that was spectacular. The stuff went cartwheeling like in the days of yore. And I was really bitter at that because I was hoping that Stark was going to, I was looking for some slog sweeps from Stark against the spinners.
So the lead was just 88. And, you know, today, you know, Ashwin took three, Yadav took three. So Yadav finishes with 3 for 12, Ashwin 3 for 44, then Jadeja 4 for 78. So that was the four wickets he took yesterday. And at that point, I mean, what did you think when we just had a lead of 88? Probably not enough.
Probably not enough, but kind of what I said before, I was thinking, well, you know, actually, my brain was saying that's not a bad lead, but my intuition was saying, no, that is definitely not enough. And even when we started to take the odd wicket in the second innings, I was still feeling that way. So, yeah, as I said, I was uncharacteristically pessimistic throughout this morning. Just one point on the green LBW, I just want to stress that I have no complaints about that whatsoever.
Oh, come on. I knew you'd say that.
You know why I have no complaints? Because sophisticated technology was showing it was hitting the stumps. Therefore, he was out, and it's the right decision. Yeah, of course, it's unlucky, but it's a game of millimetres, and sometimes you're on the wrong side of it. So I just want to put that in there that, you know, anyone who thinks that we're unbalanced Australians, I was not happy that he was out, but I have no complaints about the fact that he was out.
I mean, the commentators were saying that the umpires probably thought, well, India don't have any reviews and Australia have three, so we'll, you know, we'll give it out and then see if Australia want to review. But, you know, judging by the way the umpires have been adjudicating their decisions, I don't think they're that calculated. I just thought it was out.
Well, that's the same point that I was making in the last test match, that sometimes I'm a bit nervous because I know what I would do if I was an umpire. If I was an umpire in India with Indian fans watching, and I think if I'm going to make a mistake, I want to make it such that it can be not impacting India. So the last thing you want to do is give it not out, and on replay it's shown it was out, and then you're getting the whole of India angry at you. Far better give it out, as you said, then the Australians can challenge it if needs be. I think that it's been a difficult game to umpire, but I don't think that these two, Nitin Menon and Joel Wilson, are two of the best umpires. I think that maybe a series of this quality might have Richard Kettlebrough, who's up in the third umpire box, should be out there on the ground, I think.
So India came out to bat needing to poke, get past the 88 deficit and then get in front. And what really, you know, stood out to me for the Indian innings is lots of little starts with the partnerships on the top order. So Sharma and Gill put on 15, Pujara and Sharma 17, Pujara and Kohli 22, Pujara and Jadeja 24, Pujara and Iyer 35. And all those partnerships at times started to make me feel nervous. But then the man you wrote him off. You wrote him off after the first test. You said, drop Nathan Lyon. And he has taken 8 for 64 to absolutely destroy India. Didn't he take 7 in the last test match? I mean, he's answered your criticism very, very well with a stunning performance.
He has. And I was waiting to take this opportunity to acknowledge that, yes, again, I got that wrong. I think at the start of the podcast, after my last prediction, you gave me the opportunity to apologise. And I said, I'm not going to apologise. You know, there's an honest opinion. But
now you will.
Now I think I will. I think after he's taken 15 wickets or whatever, he's taken 11 for the match. Yes, I stand corrected. It was a very, very stupid thing to say, and I'm very regretful of it. But God, I was cheering him on. I could have kissed him. Could have kissed his beautiful bald head.
I'd like to say that. I really would. So some highlights from the Indian second innings. I thought the ball to get Sharma LBW from Lyon was a cracker. Just beat him all ends up, pinned him back in front. That was a terrific change of pace. And that's what I think I noticed in this innings more than anything. Lyon had the right pace. He bowled a bit quicker. I think the ball to get Barrett just skidded through with the arm and cannoned into the stumps. You know, the ball to Sharma, just, you know, a bit more like Jadeja, hitting, you know, digging it into the pitch and getting that sort of pace off the wicket.
You know what I found interesting about the Sharma dismissal, and maybe I'm just imagining this, but so it was given out, Rohit Sharma reviewed it, it was plumb. As soon as the third red appeared, the crowd went berserk, and my only conclusion is they were starting to cheer Kohli. I'd forgotten just how big Kohli still is, and I think that was it, that even though their captain had just been dismissed, and it was a vital wicket in the game. They're just so happy to cheer on Virat Kohli. It was quite an extraordinary thing, I thought.
Well, the reason you might have forgotten how big Virat Kohli is because he hasn't scored any test runs for a while. He hasn't scored 100 since 2019, so not long enough for the Indian crowd to cheer him out there. And he was out for 13 LBW to Matt Kuhneman, the man I declared at the SCG a month ago should be in India, and he's gone over there and clattered through the one of the world's best players. Now, Kohli, 13. Jadeja was out, LBW to line for 7. The batter who held it all together for India was Pujara, a fine innings, 59 of 142 balls. And while he was there, I was nervous because I just thought, God, at one point someone in the tail is going to hang around with him and we're going to be chasing 150.
Oh, absolutely. And the ones that I'm most scared of are the three spinners. I'm scared of them with the ball and I'm scared of them with the bat. So Jadeja, and then especially in this series, Ashwin and especially Patel. Kohli, again, I'm not going to say he was unlucky because the ball was shown to be hitting the stumps. I thought it was a very brave decision to give that out live. Didn't look, I wouldn't have given that out live. It was one of those ones that because it was such a sort of a, not a bad shot, but one that he went back to pull, missed it, crashed him in front. It kind of has that momentum almost like, oh, you've got to give that out. But I thought, geez, that's very, very close to missing leg. And it was actually umpire's call on impact and also umpire's call at the wicket. So no doubt he was a bit aggrieved. But again, yeah, it showed that it was out. And Pujara batted really well. But what about the catch to dismiss him? I think that's, if Australia go on to win this game, that's got to be the moment. Pujara working one off his pads, got a fair piece of it, went flashing across to leg slip, and Steve Smith has dived wide to his right and pulled off an absolute pearler. Superb.
Yeah, that was a stunning catch. And Smith got a fair bit of criticism for his effort in the last test match where he missed one of the, was it Patel or maybe it was Ashwin? Smith missed him at leg slip because, you know, he didn't look low enough. He looked quite high. And then before this test match, he was asked a couple of things. Actually, Gideon Hay asked him, you know, if he was sort of, you know, unhappy with his catching. And Smith was very defensive, saying, you know, he just missed one, basically. But he has had a sore back, so I wonder if the sore back has meant he's staying a bit more upright. But, I mean, that he was thrilled about that one. You know, he's normally such a superb slips fielder, and that's why it's been a bit weird the last sort of 6 months. He's been a bit off in the slip. So you're right, that was just a stunning catch.
Well, you gave Labuschagne batting advice last night, and I'd like to give Smith catching advice. I agree. It was just one of those ones. Like, I think the criticism was slightly overblown last test match because it wasn't like he was dropping sitters. But I do think he stands with his legs too far apart. And the only reason I can make that statement is that Mark Waugh, who I think is the best slips fielder I've ever seen, consistently says it. But, geez, he moved perfectly to this one. And I couldn't believe it. So fast, I for a second thought it might have come off his pad. It was all too fast and too quick for me. So stunning. I kept on, you know what I kept on waiting for? Just something to go wrong. I was each wicket like that, I was waiting for, oh, this will be the one time that Nathan Lyon has overstepped. Wait, where's the, you know, where's the, you know, and it just didn't happen. So maybe it's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah, when we're all out for 50. So Pujara's out, stunning catch. Then Umesh Yadav comes out, and he's actually, you know, he can be a dangerous customer because he'll take on the bowling. But first ball, he was out, LBW. He referred it. It was reversed. And then next ball, he tried to hit line for 6. And Cameron Green used every bit of his 8 feet to get the catch on the boundary. So India were 9 down. Then there was 1-6 in between from Axar Patel, who can't seem to find a batter to stick around with him. What's that? Not out in both innings. And he was not out 15. Siraj tried to hit Lyon into the next postcode. He was out for a duck. So that meant Lyon finished with 8 for 64. I think his second best test bowling figures. Kuhneman 1 for 60, Mitchell Stark 1 for 14, Todd Murphy didn't take a wicket, and that leaves Australia just 76 to win the test match.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the way that Akshar Patel has been batting in this series, he's coming in too low. It's inexcusable to have the person who's been scoring more runs for you than anyone else getting not out twice and marooned with the tail. That's one of the worst cricket shots I've ever seen from Mohammad Siraj. If I was the coach, I'd drop him for that. I'd say you're out of the next test for that shot alone. Never play such a disgraceful shot like that again. And the reason
why did he do it? Because if Patel does it, it's different. I'm like, Siraj should just hang around and let Patel try and slog a quick 20 or 30 at the other end.
And the reason I can say this so passionately is when he did it, I almost had a heart attack of delight. I was just staring at the screen as an Australian fan thinking, that is one of the sweetest, nicest gestures I've ever seen anyone do for anyone. If I was the Indian, I would be, if I was Dravid, I'd be so angry. You know, I don't even mind Yadav doing it because at least he's, you know, he can do it. Of course, Patel probably should have been doing it a little bit more, actually. That was so good. But, oh, ooh.
All right. So we've got some great questions. So let's go through them. Firstly, Nicholas Brown sent me a message on Instagram for this show. He's just written, Smith, a better captain, discussed. Now, I've got two things to say. I feel a little bit distasteful talking about this while Pat Cummins is at home because his mother's sick. So I don't know how you feel about it, Paul, but, you know, there's quite a lot of questions about saying, you know, Smith's a better captain, which I guess we can talk about, but I just feel a bit uneasy. I feel like Cummins is on a timeout. It's a really big personal thing. I don't think that we should turn the cricket unfiltered blowtorch his way and try and get him ousted from the Australian captaincy right now.
No. Obviously, regardless of his personal circumstances, and we wish his mother all the very best, I still want him to be the Australian captain because I think that he's a good choice as captain. Now, I haven't been overly impressed with his tactics in this series. I've never been overly impressed with Steve Smith's tactics generally as a captain. I don't think that either of them are terrible as tacticians. I think that the best on-field captain that I've seen for Australia has been Michael Clarke. It was nice and aggressive and, you know, I don't know what has Smith done in this match that's been so good. I don't think that it's made a major difference.
Look, I think it's easy to say Smith's doing a good job when we're dominating. So I think Smith's looked really good the way he's changed the bowlers, the way he's manoeuvred the field. But that's not to say Cummins did a bad job. I just think Smith is more experienced in these conditions. He's captained the side in 2017, so he's learned from those mistakes. And, you know, captaincy does bring the best out of him as a player, as a batter. And I think, you know, you're seeing how intense he is in the field. So I think you can see he's been better with the field placings. But as I said, it's easy to say when you're bowling India out and heading for a victory, you know.
That's just I used to have a manager at an old job I used to work for. Actually, it was my boss's boss, but he basically said, when someone's giving me an argument about something, the fewer words the better, and preferably numbers. And that's what I want. Don't come at me with that sort of waffle.
Okay, he's winning this match then. Okay, if you want numbers, we're winning this match. We're doing much better than we did in the last two matches. We're going to win this match, which by that rationale means Smith is a better captain.
Yes, but I refer to you to something a very intelligent person said 1 minute ago, that was not what you could consider it for. You've basically just gone back on what you yourself said. You just said, we can't consider he's a better captain
easy to say Smith is a better captain because we're winning, and you're saying, well, I need hard facts. Well, the hard fact is we're winning. So, I mean,
that's just nonsense.
You're all out.
No.
You've been middle stumped old.
I'm saying, show me what he has done that has caused us to win this match that Cummins wouldn't have done. And I know that's a hard thing to do, but what are the specific changes that he's made? What are the fielding positions that he's done that are so good? I just think that it's easy to say these things. But at the moment, your argument sounds like if you paint the car red, it'll go faster.
Well, that's not true. I mean, he's manoeuvred the field.
Give me some examples.
All the time. Okay, I'm going to go
quantify it with numbers.
But Well, how can you like quantify the amount of field change? You mean like count like every over?
Not the number of field changes, but be able to say, ah, look here, there was a catch that was taken at.
Okay, look here. Australia needs 76 to win, and we got smashed in the last two test matches.
That's like superstitious.
I just think you sound silly when you say stuff like that. I mean,
Meadows is going to do a tarot reading for everyone now.
What's Smith's star sign? I'm going to do Smith and Cummins chart and then compare them. All right, now let's get to these questions before we end this because it's very late. Well, Stephen Matlock, was Hanscom too defensive? Haydos called his approach un-Australian.
Yeah, well, you know,
Haydos a week ago was saying we should dig in, and then a week later he's saying it's un-Australian.
I agree with the thrust of Hayden's criticism, but if he's going to call, and let me say, I have no problem with what he did in terms of what I'm about to refer to. But if he's going to call Peter Hanscom batting a bit slowly as un-Australian, surely being the Pakistan mentor is un-Australian. Like, you know, he's actually worked for another country.
Yes.
In the un-Australian
Let him home.
And something. And I've got no problem with him doing that. But don't come at me with un-Australian for batting a bit slowly.
And this is the way Hanscom plays. He plays like this in Shield cricket. He can bat slowly in these conditions. So I think it's... No, he didn't play too defensive because it's his game. Monty Francis.
In the first innings when he when he got the 70-odd in Delhi, he got that at a much, much higher strike rate. So, I mean, he can play more aggressively. I think he was too defensive today.
Okay. Monty Francis, how much of an effect do you think Australia's fielding improvements had on them suddenly outplaying India? Well, Monty, we need numbers to win Paul over for this argument.
Wow, isn't that strange that Paul doesn't want just waffle motherhood statements and unquantified arguments? No, I think that it helps when you take some catches, of course.
I don't think we fielded badly in the first two tests.
No.
Stephen Matlock, can we chase 76? I'm nervous. And then he's put later on, don't forget we lost 6 for 11 today.
So, I'll tell you, Stephen Matlock, I'm going to give you some advice. Look, I don't encourage gambling, but if you want to soothe the pain, India are currently paying $14.50. So just work out how much money you would need to suddenly feel, oh, it's not so bad. And if you have maybe $10 on that and if Australia win, well, it's like an insurance policy you've taken out against your own emotions and you've put the $10 premium down and you didn't need to collect. That's fantastic. But if India win and you get $145 in return, you can feel quite happy. I'm not encouraging gambling, but it is an option.
Gamble responsibly. I think Australia's going to win this. I think we're going to do it actually quite easily because Head will go out there and do it in like 4 overs. Jim Bob. Think both nations can agree that these umpires haven't been up to scratch. What do you think, Paul?
I think that they've had disappointing games. I think that the best umpires on a pitch like this, when there are lots of decisions to be made, are going to make mistakes. I regard myself as a pretty good television umpire from 15,000 kilometres away. And that the one that struck me was that Jadeja in the first innings when he was given out LBW, and I thought it was absolutely plumb. And then the showing is an inside edge. So there are some things that they're going to get wrong. I think these guys are getting things a little bit too wrong. And I also think, I said it last night casually, I've really affirmed, why are they actually having spin vision now? There's no need, unless it's to build.
I think you can say, why are they having umpires? Because we've been saying a long time, you get rid of the middleman and just get a robot out there who can access DRS very, very quickly and just give decisions.
Absolutely. It's the way it's going to go. I mean, you were joking. That's exactly what they do in tennis now. One day that's what it will be. It'll be, there'll be just, there won't be anything out there. It'll just be all Hawkeye, all there. It'll be beautiful. Can't wait for that.
Be safer as well because in T20 cricket, umpires are in the firing line. So it'll be a safety thing. You'll just have robots out there.
We have nothing out there. It'll just be an algorithm back in the not even at the ground, an algorithm.
Then you will get your frigging numbers out your ass.
Looking forward.
I'm going to fucking watch. Next time, I'm going to be writing down now,
Smith changing the field. That's what I want. That's okay. What I want.
Yes. If you want that level of attention, you're going to get it.
I'll look at it. And if it's proven, I will agree to it. The one thing I was going to say is, why are they still persisting in looking at Spin Vision as the first replay? It's like 99 times out of 100, they go, I'm going to need to see Ultra Edge. Really? Well, why do we just go to Ultra Edge to begin with? Anyway, there are more important. That's probably a first world problem. But anyway.
Well, and just to level it out, Mr. Kumar has said India will tomorrow bowl Australia all out for 59. Absolute possibility. Because if we're like 2 for 10, I guarantee like the wobbles will go through that dressing room.
I think we'd have accepted that before the match to have an 18. That'd be a 17 run loss after the last debacle. That's pretty close.
Yeah, absolutely. If we get within 17, we've done well.
We've done really well.
All right. Well, look, I think we've got to wrap this review up. It's late here in Sydney. Australia cantering to victory in the third test. I know the Indian fans think they can do it, but I think we're going to do it. I think we'll attack the new ball. I think it's a big difference when you know it's just 70-odd. You know, someone will go out there and throw the bat. And this time tomorrow night, 2-1. Australia will have won a test match after being humiliated in the first two.
Why not go all in? I'm going to look down the camera. Congratulations, Australia, on your win. Well done, Steve Smith. 2-1. It's all to play for in Ahmedabad. Well, it's not because the trophy's gone. But if we can get a 2-all series draw, that will be fantastic. And what a great win. 2-1. Go the Aussies.
Absolutely. And I think you can almost say now that India are lucky that this is not a 5-test series.
Like very lucky.
In the next series, it'll be 5 tests. So, you know, they would be looking down the barrel of a 3-2 loss right now, but they will escape possibly with a 2-all. So,
you know, where they're going to get their 3-2
turned around.
They'll get their 3-2 loss in the Oval Test match. If it's 2-all, do they still make it? I've forgotten now.
I don't think they do. I think they have to win 3 or 4-0, something like that.
Who would we be playing then?
Sri Lanka.
Oh, God. And last question without notice, because I've been watching some of it without commentary, is Khawaja going to be able to open the batting?
Yes.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now, driving at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.